to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's so good to have my good friend Dr. Michael Rosen back on these airwaves. Known him for a long, long time. He's a fighter for the average person, as educated a man as you'll find anywhere, but he's a fierce competitor. That's what I love about Dr. Rosen. Always have, always will, and it's great to know that we have him back as a part of the Earl Ingram Show every other Wednesday morning, Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll be joined by Dr. Michael Rosen. Let's go to the phone lines and Dave from Mecklen. Hey, Dave, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, okay, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, I was going to ask Dr. Rosen a question or two, but I should just point out, while the OPEC people did reject Joe Biden's effort in producing more oil, I should mention, if you look at the the province of Alberta, and if you Google Jason Kennedy over there, he begged Joe Biden to do more oil from Canada. I mean, granted, I understand that with the whole carbon footprint, but to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, if OPEC is producing oil, you got to put it on a boat, and the carbon footprint of putting on a freighter is much greater than using a pipeline. A pipeline is continuously 24/7. I would just say this. I disagree with them on the inflation portion as well. When you print more money, it just automatically makes the dollar worth less. And how do we know this? Because over time, if we looked at the value of the dollar from 1970 to today, even you would realize, Earl, that it has depreciated. Let's be honest. It's devalued.
Even I would realize, Dave, that's a bit condescending.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at how much you made an hour back at A. L. Smith and what you were producing versus what we're doing to today, it's a fraction. And if you look at with the money that was just spent in this last bill with the climate change, that benefits a few people. That benefits the Elon Musk. That benefits the CEO of Ford, the CEO of GM. And you look at what they're doing now. Ford just announced they're laying off 3,000 white-collar workers because they're worried about, they said there is a recession. The amount of cars that they're being purchased has gone down significantly, although they do have some popular vehicles.
Hey, Dave, so that's Joe Biden's fault? So the coming recession, which we know was long overdue and was held off under President Trump, if we look at the history of the recessions and the growth of economies, Dave, the recession was long overdue. It was held off.
Well, it was
going to come regardless of whether it was Donald Trump or whether it was Joe Biden or whomever it was. The continued growth of the economy, it was sure to slow down.
This is what I would say in response to you, Earl. Part of it is, and it's due to government policies. If you look at what the government did.
All of this is due to government policies, Dave. Everything.
Yeah, I understand that. And what I'm trying to explain to you was that when the government said that some businesses are essential versus non-essential, we went into double-digit unemployment, that is the reason why we've gotten this whole mess to begin with, because the Walmarts and the Costcos of the world were able to stay open, but the little mom and pop shop they could not be open. Essentially, anybody that was not a big corporate store or some sort of essential business, they were forced to shut down.
Huge
repercussions.
Hey, David, let's go back to 2008. Let's go back to the last years of George Bush Jr. and yes. the fact that the nation was headed towards almost depression. Maybe people have right. forgotten that. I think people on the right clearly don't want to talk about those years.
They have not forgotten
they,
about
okay,
that.
Okay, so okay, but they never talk about that. So
the reason being, that was created. The fact that if you look at the mortgage end of things,
David,
there was no rules in place.
David, I got
the Glass
that. But
Steagall,
I got that.
The Glass-Steagall was repealed.
I understand that, but it was under George Bush. Okay, and so it was under a Republican president. And so because of that, it created the climate and the environment where in 2008, where Republicans have conveniently forgotten about it, we almost were in a depression. And so when then President Barack Obama came into office, he was forced to spend money. He was forced to spend money and put money back into the economy so it wouldn't have been a depression. And
so it was overcorrective.
You can say overcorrective, but there had to be a correction because of where we were.
Let me finish my point.
After that, and it was, again, the Dow Jones was at 7,000 or 6,800 and falling. And when President Obama came into office and rescued all of that, he was accused of creating a greater deficit. Yeah, well, he created the deficit to prevent the depression. And so once the economy started booming, don't forget the Dow Jones went from 6,800 to 16,000 under President Barack Obama, and we began an economy, the economy began to grow. Donald Trump comes to office and inherits a growing economy, and he was given credit for being the impetus behind the economy continuing to grow.
And with Donald Trump, what ended up happening was, as far as what he did when he initially got elected.
I know what he did.
He there seems to be this disconnect that if people get to keep their own money, that's a bad thing. The thing is, inflation was low. You didn't have supply chain issues. You have a lot of the stuff that you don't have that we have currently. And we still have a baby formula shortage. I should mention because I want to address this.
It seems to be a bad thing that people get to keep their own money. I remember that under Donald Trump, and even some under George Bush, and Republican policies have always come in and said, what the Democrats want to do is redistribution of wealth. You remember that verbiage?
Yeah.
Okay, so the wealth grew exponentially for the wealthy at the expense of the middle class.
That's not true. The middle class, if you looked at what happened, the black unemployment, Hispanic unemployment.
We're not talking about black or Hispanic. We're talking about the middle class in general. Okay.
The middle class right now is being destroyed by inflation,
The middle class was destroyed, large segments of it, by 2008.
It's been destroyed the last year and a half, Earl. We have not had this type of inflation in over 40 years.
Hey, David, Hey, David, I was around the last time we had this under Jimmy Carter. I remember it well.
And he has repeated Jimmy Carter. That's why we say he's Jimmy Carter 2.0. He didn't learn anything. And there's a reason for that. Jimmy Carter did the exact same thing. He put price controls in. He did all sorts of, screwy things.
Hey, Dave.
And if you look at what Joe Biden, he has basically done the same thing, but on a bigger level, actually.
I just had an economist on, Dr. Michael Rosen, who's well-respected all over the world. And he was explaining that you can't point the finger at Joe Biden and say Joe Biden did this. He started explaining.
Let's be clear. What did he do? He actually had the Army Corps of Engineers redo the permits for all oil and gas.
Hey, David, that is correct, because there were people in this country who were concerned about the fossil fuel situation. Excuse me, and the long-term damage to the planet. So there were people.
Guess what? China doesn't care about the planet. They're using more coal than ever. So is Germany. So is Japan. So is India. So whatever the United States does, the rest of the world. As a matter of fact, Mexico. If you saw the British Petroleum sold all their assets to Mexico, hey, David, because Mexico is going all in fossil fuels.
You know?
Did you see that?
No. But I know I know we can go to any of those things, because we were talking about what happened to the middle class. You started blaming
the middle class is going to get devastated with inflation.
The middle class has already been devastated once Republican policies allowed corporations and the upper crust in this society not to pay their fair share.
So guess what? So we just passed this last bill with the climate change. Who's going to benefit out of that? It's certainly not the middle class. I just want to make this point. An electric vehicle, if you go buy a Tesla today, a brand new Tesla, you're going to pay $70,000 for a new Tesla, okay? You, Earl, Connor,
hey, David, hold the thought. I have to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
In our own way, in our own voice, as best we could, the trends of the times be damned. Thank God we've still got musicians and thinkers whose obsession with excellence and whose hunger for greatness remind us that we should all be unsatisfied with mimicking the popular rather than mining the fertile veins of creativity that God placed deep inside each of us.
We go ah, the ah, the ah, the ah. We go ah, the ah, the ah, the ah. We go ah, the ah, the ah, the ah. We go ah, the ah.
To bring me down, way down,
way down.
One day they try to bring me down.
Always knew that one day
they try to bring me down.
I just love your musical selections, man. I really do, man. You're the best ever. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 in Texas at the same number. On the line, I got my good friend Dave from Mech One. But let me say this before we go back to Dave. Whenever I hear, people on the right say, the president is, his policies are geared to help, the wealthiest amongst us, Democratic presidents. I've got to look at that with a jaundiced eye, because I know that in my lifetime, I've never seen any Republican president who's done anything to benefit and help the middle class or the average person. Here's a prime example before we go back to Dave. In this fight between Tim Michaels and Governor Evers, today Governor Evers announces new plan to cut taxes. help working families afford rising costs, reduce barriers to employment. The governor's plan includes cutting taxes for working families, veterans, and seniors, lowering gas prices, and capping insulin copay, and making caregiving and children and child care more affordable. Now, you know, say what you will. The Republicans are going to come back with some other foolishness. But, you know, it's easy to say the things that I hear people from the right say, but I can only go by what I see and what happens after they've done what they've done. And I've seen this now for the better part of 50 years that I've been able to focus on what happens. You know, Dave, go ahead.
All right. So I was arguing with you in regards with electric vehicles. And what I'm saying is there's absolutely no reason why the person like Connor or like yourself or myself has to subsidize somebody buying an expensive Tesla at $7,500 a car, or for that matter, any electric vehicle with Ford or with GM or anything. It's ridiculous. And the thing is, we're doing it. So in part of that climate initiation that was just passed, definitely, yes, I understand we're going electric. But at the same token, we should not be rewarding people that can afford to buy an expensive car with a huge tax credit. So let's say if you were to go out and buy a BMW that's about $80,000, do you think Connor's going to feel good that he's going to be chipping in $7,500 for the tax credit?
Here's my response to that. The bill is much bigger than that provision in it. And with all the other aspects of it, that impact.
That's a
and
huge
effect.
Proponent of
and,
it.
And, Dave, it is not the biggest proponent of it. And so it is something that is in the bill, like many other bills that pass, that we have to live with because of what the rest of the bill is going to entail. People get what they negotiate during these bills, and you know that. And so some of the things you have to swallow. That's one of the things they had to swallow in order to get the bill passed. But the focus on the bill
should
not be.
Didn't have to be done.
Okay, well, it was done. Okay, so I would rather focus on the other aspects of the bill, or broader aspects of the bill that are going to change things, that are going to make it easier and better for people to make sure they have health care. You don't want to talk about that. Of course, you certainly don't want to talk
again,
about that.
You're giving subsidies to private health insurance. Think about that. So people are buying private health insurance, and the private health insurance is the one who wrote the Affordable Care Act. They're getting a huge amount of money from taxpayers to give the subsidy that somebody can't buy the insurance.
Hey, David,
the people
are paying the taxes, for the most part, clearly have been the middle class because, again, with all the write-offs that have been created by both Democrats and Republicans, but Republicans especially over the last 20 years, those people the wealthy have been able to walk away from their responsibilities.
You're missing the point.
I'm not missing
the subsidies
point.
That are going towards private insurance are being paid by the middle class.
Hey, Dave.
That is what is being done with this bill. That was a part of another thing in that bill.
Hey, Dave.
Huge subsidies are being pushed for green energy for electric cars, $7,500. Huge subsidies for buying private health insurance.
Do you mean like the subsidies that have been paid to the oil companies for the last 40 years? That's okay, right?
The oil companies have, first of all, the oil companies
have received subsidies.
Okay, They did not receive a subsidy. They have a tax break for doing exploration, which does not guarantee them that they're going to get oil out of the ground.
Whether it's tax break or subsidies, they've been given an opportunity to not pay their fair share.
They have been paying their fair share.
Got to go to a break, Dave. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Listen, I'm not an economist like my last guest, Dr. Michael Rosen, is. Like nationally renowned economists, like my guests on Mondays and Fridays, Sandy Williams. But those men are nationally renowned, and so I get it when there are guys who call here, people who call here, and want to challenge, what these nationally renowned guys have to say about the economy. I'm not a specialist; they are. So if it comes to whether or not I am going to believe what it is being said, I'm clearly going to go with the guys who have the credentials. Well, they may be that, but I know a little better than they do. I disagree with them. Well, you have a right to disagree with them, but their credentials and the way they have, and the places that they've been, and in the arenas that they've been in, you don't get to the point where Sandy Williams is, or where Dr. Michael Rosen is, by not knowing what you're talking about. Now listen, I was talking about with David. And, and you constantly hear people on the right who want to push and bash, what Joe Biden is doing. He's destroying this. He's destroying that, and Democratic policies destroy this and destroy that. I do know this much. I've listened to Tim Michaels. And as a guy who's barely holding on to a middle class existence, if listening to what Tim Michaels' plans are and knowing what Governor Tony Evers' plans are, and having now, seen him for the last 3 years, I know the man that I'm going to support as a guy who's barely hanging on to the middle class, his policies of what is needed after a Republican named Scott Walker, came in and for 8 years made sure that the wealthy got wealthier. Or George Bush Jr., who came in and made sure that the wealthy got wealthier. Or Donald Trump, who made sure that the wealthy got wealthier. It doesn't matter what the callers call in and say on the other side of the ledger. I know what has happened in my life. And people like me who've gotten the short end of the stick and people who are angry because we've gotten the short end of the stick. That's what this is all about. Making people who have benefited from the middle class losing out, paying their fair share. And I, you know, it doesn't matter how you want to try to articulate it. You know, the truth is the truth. The facts are the facts. The wealthy have gotten much more wealthy over the last, under the leadership of Republican leadership. That's just a fact. I don't care how you want to try to cut that. And every time there have been Democrats in office, except for, you know, and I, you know, Bill Clinton was a centrist kind of Democrat, that they've done what they could to try to level the playing field. And every time I hear people who are struggling to remain in the middle class, who want to side with the wealthy amongst us, I shiver. So you want to, you know, support, you know, Tim Michaels, a guy who supports Diane Hendricks, or the Menard guy. Not talking about you. Not you. But you don't get that. You don't understand that. Listen, we need balance. We're at a point and a time in this country where the middle class needs to be supported. And I don't care about, well, you're giving the money. The people should be able to keep their own money. Yeah. The people. The average people who've been carrying the brunt of this economy for far too long and not been able and not been and see themselves. And this is where the frustration and anger and angst comes from in this country. And why those people have decided to vote Republican. Because they don't understand why it's occurred. Now, NAFTA was both Democrat and Republican, bipartisan. You know, let's move the jobs overseas. And by moving it overseas, they're kind of a trickle-down economic theory. We'll move the jobs overseas, and things will be cheaper for the American people. That's the false bill of goods that they sold us when Bill Clinton, who was president at the time, along with support from Republican Congress and Republican Senate, took those jobs out of this country. Well, things will be cheaper. Cars never got cheaper. The cars that came back to this country never got cheaper. They promised us they would. You know, the only thing you can put your finger on could have been and maybe some appliances, but, you know, not anymore. You know, I just for the life of me, will never be able to understand how people who are average people themselves want to support the wealthy amongst us, moreover than they want to do support their own brethren, their own neighbors. Listen, man, it's a tough world out here. It's a tough life. And if you're fortunate enough to be able to navigate yourself through this tough life, and save a couple coins along the way, bravo for you. Okay? You know, it's a difficult reality. Living in this world is difficult. Let's stop acting like it's easy. It's not. It should be easier. But we have systems in place that make it more difficult, that almost are set there to steer people towards failure. No corporation should be able to take advantage of the citizens. Not one. Nobody can tell me why that's a good thing. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. There's nobody who'll make can win a debate with me by saying corporations should be able to take advantage of the citizens. And so since you can't do that, why are we allowing that to happen? And if you can't answer that, then I don't want to hear about the rest of it. Because that's where we need to fix. We need to start there. You know, people trusting in the country. When the country, in many instances, many people who run the country aren't worthy of trust. You've got to be in a position to have your head on a swivel at all times for fear that your fellow countrymen will take advantage of you. Is that the kind of nation that is a great nation? I don't think so. Well, people should know better. They should be able to read the small print. No. No, that's not the way it should be. People should be given a fair shot in the nation, fair opportunity. And what would make our nation great is if you were not allowed to take advantage of its citizenry. Then I'll talk about how great our nation is. Until then, don't tell me about, well, people should be able to make their own, you know, keep their own money they make. Hey, you know, I don't mind paying my fair share. I'm looking at you, Connor. What are your thoughts? Yeah. Is it okay in your mind that we have the wealthy in this country, many of them, can skirt their responsibilities?
No, I mean, it's not. It's not whatsoever, and I think it's because we have checks and balances in our governmental system, but not, I don't feel, in our corporate system, right?
Right.
Like, we have people that don't really understand the importance in either, you know, practically or either compassionistically, you know, the importance of taking care and giving back, not just for charitable purposes, for the sake of looking good in the media, i.e. Bill Gates or, you know,
right.
Elon Musk. But
Elon, right.
But giving, like, directly back to the people that contribute to their community, right? And, that, I mean, it's been proven that, I mean, the average American has to work pretty much 40 hours, 50 hours a week, right, in order to make a living wage, right? And it's been proven that given a good amount of time.
And then you don't make a livable wage.
Yeah, exactly, depending on where you live. Like, if, I mean, here that's possible in Waukesha, but if you go to somewhere like New York, it's practically impossible. And, you know, I think that that has a lot to do with the fact that when you have people, right, that are working, and they're trying to work as much as they possibly can. It's been proven that if people are given a good amount of time to rest and are given leisure and are given community at the place in which they work at, they're more likely to stay and they're more likely to be dedicated toward that business. It's why, like, people still decide to start and still decide to function in small business, right? Because they have a sense of not just because, you know, it's a way to gain a sense of autonomy on a small level, but also because they care about the service they're providing. But once you start scaling specifically with these large companies, a lot of that goes out the wayside and the focus becomes primarily profit and increasing the profit of all the shareholders and all the investors, right? This is why small business is so fundamental, because it doesn't have that as the sole incentivizer for growth and for scaling. And I think there needs to be more And I think this kind of harkens back to the earlier issue in which we were talking about when it comes to the school shooter. Actually, I think there's a connection here, because I think the government and our legal system doesn't really do a very good job at giving out penalties dependent on the exact the behavior, right? Manipulative or socio or pathological or controlling behavior that a lot of the CEOs, right?
So why don't we do this? Why don't we hold the thought? Because I know we got to go to a break.
Yeah, we do. And we're actually, yeah, we have to go to a break. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. Connor, you wanted to finish your thought, and then we'll come to you next, Terry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically what I was just trying to get at was the idea that I feel like people in higher positions of power in this country should be held to more of a rigorous and I think to a certain point legal a standard when it comes to the way that they treat and the way that they communicate with the media, the way that they treat their they treat their workers. Because, like, for example, Elon Musk has lied numerous numbers of times about the projects in which he's doing and their efficacy. And he's, you know, taken research from different organizations and then created, you know, certain small companies, and he profits off of the minor research that these companies do by putting his branding and putting his name on it. And he's able to go from company and industry to continuously do that without proving that he actually has anything that's objectively innovative, right? You know, for an example, SolarCity is an example of that. He pretty much ran that small solar panel company into the ground. But that's beside the point. The idea is that if you just please shareholders, you can completely negate promises. You can completely mistreat your workers. You can completely do and have anger, you know, have temper tantrums at your secretaries and such, and have tons of anger issues, which these are common issues that are reported amongst billionaires like your Jeff Bezos and your Elon Musks and your Bill Gateses. And there isn't any objective legal or anything whatsoever, as long as these people are able to satisfy shareholders. And I think we have to look at the core of the problem. Like, that's the core of the problem there, right? Because, you know, you can't necessarily just take away these companies from these individuals, right? Because then you would get pushback from conservatives saying it's government overreach and such. So instead, you try to make it more difficult, more rigorous for individuals who don't understand the purposes and the efficacy, the utility-based efficacy, and then also the general humanity and being compassionate towards your workers and towards your customer base.
Well said, young man. Let's go to Terry in the North Woods. Hey, Terry, what's going on? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'll be 67 on Friday, so
congratulations.
I remember the same thing you. Thanks, Earl. I ain't made it yet, but I'm within 48 hours,
right.
I guess, of making it. But anyway, I remember in Carter's time, it was inflation was drove by the gas price, the fuel price. That's what drove inflation, not government spending.
Right.
That's what I remember. And I remember Nixon doing the price controls, not Carter. I don't believe Carter did the price controls. I think it was Nixon that did it in 74, I'm guessing.
You're right.
Wage and price controls. So,
you know, Terry, what is frustrating is when average people like you and I, and we lived in this nation at a time when we had our piece of the pie, right? The average person was able to get his piece of the pie, and he was able to live a decent life, and so he didn't have to struggle, while people like Bezos and others, as Connor was talking about, continue to eat the fatted calf, and then the scraps that are left, we fight for, and those people have gotten unconscionably wealthy at the time that people like you and I are struggling just to keep food on our table. That has happened in my lifetime. Am I correct, sir?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is
you lived it.
Yeah, and that's what people are angry about. Something happened, mm-hmm. right? Something happened in your and my lifetime that took away the benefit that you and I, the hardworking person who helped build this nation, lost his place in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Absolutely. From somebody from outside of this nation who created that. It happened inside of this nation.
Right, right. Agree more.
You're in the North Woods. Paper mills mm-hmm. were up there, right?
Well, I'm the western side of the state.
Oh, western side of the state. Okay, but there was industry. And certainly the people who lived in the towns where you live, many of them worked in those factories that provided great opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone.
Right.
Hey, I wish I had more time, Terry. Thank you very much for the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Chad. Yep. Chad, how you doing, man? Quickly. Who is that?
Sorry, the screen was frozen back here for some reason.
Oh, that's all right.
Who is it? Hey, Chad?
Well. Yeah, say Earl. How's
yes,
it going?
Sir, I'm fine.
Hey, did the rich get richer and the poor get poorer under Obama's two terms? You seem to discard his name, but you mentioned, Bush.
Yeah, so President Obama was a centrist, and yes, President Obama was selected by the wealthy to do their bidding. And it was no coincidence that President Barack Obama became the president of the United States and the first black president of the United States, because the wealthy chose him.
Why do you leave his name out then when you just keep mentioning Trump and Bush, how the rich got richer and they sold you out, but you can leave Obama? The Pew Report, now when the Democrats had the control of Congress the first 2 years, here the census data, the richest 7% of Americans saw their net worth climb 28%, and the rest of the country saw a 4% loss. Under Obama, under the first 2 years, under Democratic control, but you conveniently don't mention that. I just wonder why.
So let me say this to you again. I talked about in my lifetime. I talked about the presidents where that impacted the most. Certainly, Barack Obama, when he came into office, at a time again that we were headed towards depression. And under then President George Bush. And so he certainly benefited the wealthy in his policies. You know why? Because there was no way possible he was going to be able to, with Republicans controlling the House, there was no way he was going to be able to get his policies through.
No, you guys had Congress for the first 2 years. He had Congress for the first 2 years.
Yeah, for the first 2 years. The last 6 years, Republicans controlled it, and Mitch McConnell made it clear that his job was to make sure that President Barack Obama.
He sold you out to McConnell, then, is what you're saying? Listened to McConnell. No, McConnell gives his orders.
He did not have.
He sold you out.
Well, listen, Chad.
The government
you just admitted it. He had to listen to McConnell, Earl.
Hey, Chad. You know, you can say it whichever way you want to say it. I wish I had more time. But call back in tomorrow.
You said it. I did.
Call back in tomorrow when we have some time to have a discussion, and you'll get a fair opportunity. We'll have that debate.
Okay. Take care, Earl.
Thank you, because we're up against the clock. But we got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor. Really enjoyed the show. Enjoying all of you who take the time out to listen. And really appreciate it. Got to go. We'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.